Hi, I'm Tina Spangler with TLC Barrels, and welcome to my podcast. Today is April 23rd of 2024, and this podcast is made especially for my online coaching group. It's a way for me to communicate to the group as a whole and share my program. And also, I talk every week about the beat of the group. So whatever questions came in over the past week, a topic that I think is appropriate for where we're at right now, that's what I talk about. So before we get started, I'd like to welcome new members, Monta from Hawaii. Welcome to her. We haven't had a Hawaii member yet. So that puts us in 27 states now in the United States. And we have three international riders as well in Africa and New England. So over the last 3.5 years, August of 2020 is when it started. So this August, it will be 4 years. TLC originally started in the early 90s in Colorado, but the online version started in 2020. There have been 329 people sign up and over 100, like I think right now there's 118 active members in the group at all times. So usually over 100 active. And I would say about half of the group are paying by the year and the other half by the month. A quarter of the membership has been there for the entire time of the 3.5+ years. Another quarter has been there the last 2 years. And then another quarter has been there at least a year. And then the final quarter have been the newer members that have come in the last year. So I'm very appreciative to everyone. And I just really want to thank all of you. We also have new members that came to my clinic. Anyone who comes to a clinic gets a free month in the group as follow-up to understand my program more and to get more video reviews after the clinic to make sure they're applying what they learned or if they have any questions. So welcome to Gail, Shannon, Kitty, Caroline, Shelby, and Sabrina, 6 new riders. And of course, 4 riders are already a member of the group, so they got a free month as well for attending. You know, I always start with a story and then I'll do Q&A and then the topic. The topic today is don't blame the horse. And I'm going to discuss about 13 things you shouldn't do to blame the horse and what you should be doing. And I'm also going to answer the questions from the group. But I always like to start with a story. And, you know, I've always rooted for the underdog. There's certain people that you meet in your life or certain movies you watch. And I'm a sucker for a romantic love story. And we all love the story of Seabiscuit or Secretariat and you know, the story behind the winning of those racehorses. But there's a lot of horse stories like that in barrel racing too. You look at Scamper, Bozo, horses that really no one thought they'd make it, but they did. And so we always pull for those underdogs, right? And even today, you know, there are people out there paying $100,000 for a barrel horse, but there's other people still making their own from something grown in their backyard or something they spent $2,000 or $3,000 on. I never paid more than that for a baby to train myself and started them. I looked at their bloodlines and looked at the horse and watched how they moved and decided that's what I want and spent that lower amount of money and made my own horse. So I do think it's important to realize where you're at. If you feel like the underdog, it's okay. If you feel like things aren't going okay, it's okay. I can tell you, for me, I was a competitor and I went hard. And I mean, I rode 6 days a week, several horses a day from 1993 to 2015. And then 2015, my son went off to college and my husband asked for a divorce in 2016 after 26 years of being together. That's a long time with one person, 26 years. Some of you haven't even been alive that long and in the group. But training that many years and then, you know, I found myself by myself in 2016. My son was in college in Georgia and I was alone in Florida. I moved away from my family to follow my husband's career. So here I am in Florida and all I have is my horses, my dogs, my home and my business. And you know, I felt alone, but I never felt lonely on my own. I guess because even though it was challenging, there was a lot of challenging times, Hurricane Irma, in 2017. I had to move in 2019. COVID hit in 2020, and they were still recovering from COVID in 2021. Even part of 2022, getting back on my feet because I moved to a new place and had to rebuild my business. And during a pandemic, just didn't help, not to mention my hip pain. So I had hip surgery in 2023. So it's been a lot, you know, it's been a lot in 8 years. And a lot of scary things where you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And you're just like, is everything, anything going to be normal again? Will I ever be competing on, you know, three horses again and riding 6 days a week? And, you know, the fun times that I loved from, you know, those 20, 25 years of competing, all of that. Well, anyways, my point being, here it is, finally 2024. And I actually finally feel like I'm going to be okay. And I'm not alone because God's always with me. And that's something that is a blessing over the last eight years that I figured out. I still have my parents. I still have my son. And I'm close to them. I talk to them weekly and all of that. But I'm never alone. I have God. I'm very close to God. And I have my ranch. I love my ranch. I sold my big ranch, paid off my little ranch. I love my horses, my puppy. And I love TLC, of course. And I actually feel like it's okay for me to dream again and set goals that I want for me personally. So for so long, it's just been about surviving and starting over. And it's a good feeling to actually feel a shift, a mindset shift in myself that, you know, Tina, it's okay to want things now for you and to dream again and have goals again. And, you know, and it's a good thing, right? So I just wanted to say that to you. If any of you have been going through struggles and they've been struggle after struggle and you feel like, what's going to happen next? It is hard, but you have to, you know, there's four things God wants from us. And those four things is God doesn't want us to worry. In the Bible, it tells us to trust God, not to worry. God doesn't want us to be negative. You know, we need to be positive and trust and things are going to work out. And God doesn't want us to be fearful, to fear, you know, enjoying life. We should enjoy life. We have this beautiful, wonderful world that we live in. And we should. And God doesn't want us to please people. God wants us to please God. That's why we have the Ten Commandments. That's why we have, you know, Jesus died on the cross for us. We're supposed to be pleasing to God, not other people. So keep those four things in mind as you go through life. And I think you'll find that you'll be happier for it. So let me get into the updates for the group, and then I'll do the questions. Also, before I do that, though, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for every single one of you that's been there through. And I also forgot to mention I lost two horses and four dogs in those last 8 years. And those were heartbreaks because my dogs and my horses are like kids to me. Don't let Dalton hear that, but no, but you know, they become a part of your family, your horses and your dogs, and it's hard saying goodbye to them. So two horses and four dogs over that 8 years too, well, you know, because they're older and old age stuff, but you know, nothing horribly tragic. It's just circle of life. It happens. Everybody dies, but it's just so hard to go through. But I want to thank all of you for being a part of TLC. It makes me really happy that you're a part of it, part of me, and I get to be a part of your journey. And it makes me happy that I'm able to help you and that you find good information being a part of TLC and it's helpful to you. So remember, this month's challenges is the for skill. You can send in a training video and get put in the drawing for the training video challenge, and that can be two different things. You can do the up down drill, which is a great warm up drill, or the loose rein riding, and you can do that in straight lines and circles, or big circles and small circles. But anything, both of these get you to get your horse to work off your body more. Transitions, go cue, rate cue, turn cue, all off eyes, shoulders, hips, and seat. And just your hands and legs to lightly back it up, and a loose rein, not having to hold your horse all the time. So growth mindset is our mindset for the month. And that means that you're either winning or learning. It's never losing or failing. And to keep that in mind as well. I did put some new videos in the group. All lefts, all rights. Some rail work, transitions, face flexing, left, right, and down. the four corner drill, circles and true turns, how to use the group, and the website video. So if you haven't seen those, scroll through the group and find those videos and watch them. Also, reminder, when you send me your videos, let me know if you want them private or they're allowed to be shared in the group. Most of the videos are going to be done Monday through Friday because the weekends I'm either taking a day off or doing lessons or clinics. So most videos are done Monday through Friday. And be sure when you send me one, send one video at a time and put arena name, horse name, winning time, your time, and any concerns before you send the second video. So I know what's what and don't, you know, confuse me, or if it's just a different angle, because remember there's one of me and over 100 of you. So the more clear you make it for me, the easier I can get through everything. I can only do about 3 videos an hour because it takes me, I have to watch the video, then I have to review the video, then I have to share the video and, you know, or send the video to you. And it all takes time. So at least 15 to 20 minutes per video. So 3 to 4 videos maximum an hour. And I did 10 on Sunday from the clinic. I did about 14 yesterday. And I have another 12 right now on my list for today. And I have group lessons tonight. So I just want to keep that in mind to you guys. So what I don't get done today, I will do Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are going to be my busiest days for videos. I usually get caught up by Thursday or Friday, and then it starts all over again. So anyhow, I just wanted to let you know that. So let's get into the questions. One of these questions was a client that uses my Dynamite program. We have many members in the group that do the Dynamite Foundation. Barbara Calhoun, Nancy Utek, Penny, Ashley, I'm just trying to think of off the top of my head. I really hadn't given it a lot of thought, but anyways, one of them, and Chelsea, actually, whose question came in, she said her young filly is eating a ton of the Ismine mineral, free choice mineral right now, and she was concerned if that's okay. And yes, that's exactly how the free choice minerals and salts work. A horse that has something going on will pick and choose what minerals they need, and when they're balanced, they won't touch them. So if she's going through the black Ismine, which is filled with electrolytes and minerals, and the reason why is that one's for bone growth for young horses. Or if a hurricane's coming, any big barometric pressure changes, like storms blowing in, they will go after the Ismine. And the reason your filly's doing it is bone growth. I watched Rocky do it several times. So what I would do is I'd put out a quarter cup a day until she slows down off of it, and then you can, you know, put out less. That one's the most expensive of the four. So I don't like to waste it. So some people say, just put the whole thing, fill the bucket up, but I'm not going to fill up the mineral tubs because if they stop eating it, it gets wet or dirty. So I just, when I clean the stalls, I just put a little bit more in the mineral tub and of each one, you know, there's the 2-to-1, the 1-to-1, there's the natural pink salt, and then there's the black Ismine minerals. And that one's got a ton of electrolytes and minerals in it that the horses just need for bone growth. And they'll also eat it if they're detoxing from something. So yeah, it's totally okay. So just when you pick your stalls, just put a little more out for her when she gets done with her little bone growth. It's just like kids. Remember when your kids are growing and they're all of a sudden super hungry and their joints hurt? They're having a bone growth. So that's all. She's just growing. So the next question, is it better to ask firm or light with your hands? That's a good question. A lot of people immediately spur their horse or grab their horse's face. So never start heavy. Always ask light. I mean, if you can get your horse to respond with one finger and then, you know, lightly touching him with your leg, you know, one finger, two finger, three finger. If you have to go to your whole hand or even moving your whole elbow back an inch, you have to get firm to get a response. But never start heavy. There's no way you're going to make a light horse starting firm or heavy. So ask light. When they respond, release. But if they don't, increase pressure firmly until they do. So your goal, it's like a game. Oh, I'm going to see if I can get my horse to do it off one finger, two fingers, three fingers. Darn, I had to go to four fingers. So kind of treat it like a game until you get your horse to be light and responsive. And always use give and take pressure. when I say give and take, obviously, if they haven't, you don't release the pressure till they give. When they give, you release. So you ask, they give, you release. So you ask and they don't give, you increase pressure till they do give. Unless it's going to, you know, cause them to rear up or put you in a bad situation, then you may have to reevaluate your communication with your horse and find a better way. But okay, so next question, one hand or two hand on the in poles? For me, I like one hand on my in poles. Now, there are some of you tough little high school and college kids that are just as strong and fearless as can be, and you'll turn your in poles one hand or two handed. But most women will go to the horn from spot one to two and then get right back to two hands at spot three. And that's what I would recommend doing. You do need to get back to two hands right away to get over for your next pole weave. So you do need core strength to be really good at the pole bending. But yes, that's what I would do. There was actually one circulating this weekend of a 19-second pole run. It was pretty, pretty cool. So, but I've had college rodeo kids run 20 and 21s in poles. And some of them rode two hands, some of them rode one hand. Honestly, you just don't want to be in their face. So whatever allows you to stay off their head and let them work those in poles, the better. So, and it's not a hard, fast rule for me. As long as you're not in their face, that's the main thing. And your core is strong. That's the next thing. The next question is about ulcer prevention. What do I do? I am a Dynamite Foundation girl. I love it. It's all natural products. It's a holistic meal. I've used it for probably 20 years, but at least 10 years solid. You know, the entire program, there's a foundation. There's the Free Choice Minerals and Salts. There's DynaPro, which is a prebiotic. And then there's Dynamite, which is a chelated amino acid, vitamin and minerals. And so this way you're covering all your macro minerals, everything's covered. You're chelated, your macros, all that's covered. And all you've got to feed is a quality hay and clean, cool water. And you've got happy horses. Now, to give them their minerals, I do tend to give them something with it. And you can do a cup of pellets. You can do a cup of oats. You could do a cup of Equine Senior. You'll find they don't need grain to stay healthy with quality hay and a good solid vitamin mineral supplement. So for ulcer prevention, I don't feed a lot of grain because I feel like, and that was my point here, I feel like too much grain can cause ulcers as well. And for ulcer prevention, I can add Miracle Clay onto their vitamin mineral with whatever cup of, in my horses right now, I'm just getting a cup of Equine Senior with their vitamins, but I'll pour their Miracle Clay, Miracle Clay is calcium bentonite, and if you do it thinner, it's a prevention, but if you do it thicker, you can actually do it by syringe before you load them, and if you're, let's say when you are treating for ulcers, they ask for ulcer prevention. So I have a video, if you want to see it, go to the group, go to the website under equipment and extra care for horses. There's a whole bunch of stuff on Miracle Clay, and there's a video on how to use it and how to give it for ulcers. So, and it's also in the group under the search box. So let's see here. There's a comment. I have a comment on checking your equipment. One of the members in the group was practicing barrels and she lives in Colorado. She was in an indoor arena. She had her helmet on, but her leather off billet had dry rotten and she hadn't noticed. And she turned second barrel and her saddle completely came off as well as she, and she hit so hard that her helmet broke. She was wearing a ski helmet, which are designed to hit trees and not break, but it broke. So she's fine. Saddle's not fine. And her helmet is definitely not fine. So I'm telling you this just to check your equipment. That's the scariest thing, to have your equipment break when you're in full run on a horse. So check those billets, replace them. Not to mention get some, Lexol and I think it's Lexol and condition your leather, go through in your saddle and your straps and replace anything, buckles, bridles, same thing on your reins, check all your equipment, Chicago screws, snaps, make sure everything's good. And you should always be checking your equipment. If it's old, replace it. So that's just a reminder for everybody to be safe. The other thing is another member had a horse fall down at the first barrel. So I want to talk about ground. If you get somewhere and you notice people are struggling with the ground, or maybe it's really dry and shifty, or maybe it's hard and slick, just don't go fast, and then try to stay two hands going into the turn, and just really sit and let your horse figure it out. Don't bring your hands to the side and ask him to turn hard. Don't you know, be aggressive and go fast. Just be quiet and let them try to sort out the ground. In this case, a horse was able to, it fell down on the hind end, then the front end, then got back up. She finished the pattern, but I would recommend that you go ahead and just walk your horse out. And the reason why, if a horse goes down, you're on adrenaline, they're on adrenaline, and they may not feel the pain yet. And they may not feel it until after their run or until after you get out of the arena. It's just like when people are in car accidents, they're able to do things even though they're injured, and it's from adrenaline. So always when you have a, you know, if it's one thing, if you take a little trip, but if your horse hind end actually goes down or their front end goes down or both, definitely stop. And, because adrenaline could certainly be, and you might have kept going because your adrenaline is going and you're not sure what to do, but go ahead and, if I could recommend that, definitely, go easy when you see issues at the ground, and then definitely, stay two hands, go slow. And then definitely if something happens, just, you know, get off your horse and walk them out, and, better safe than sorry. I did have a client horse break their pelvic bone running barrels. They turned one barrel and she felt something off, but kept making the run. By the time they got out of the arena, the horse was three-legged lame and his pelvic bone had broken. So when in doubt, just pull up, and it's not worth it. Just stop. So the topic today, don't blame the horse. So a lot of people, I hear them all the time. My horse does this, my horse does that. I'm guilty of it with myself, with Rocky. I want to say, sometimes I'll label Rocky in a negative way. He's too small, or he's too slow, or whatever. And I'm going to stop doing that, because the more you have a negative thought, I'm going to start saying, you know what? God gave me Rocky. I love Rocky, which is truth. And I'm just going to have fun with him. And wherever that takes us, it takes us. I'm not going to say, he's too small, he's too slow, because I don't know, maybe he will. I've never asked him. You know, I'm teaching him how to run now around the arena and learn speed, because he's never been asked for that, because during the time that I've had him, he's behind for, you know, his size. I had to start him later, and then also my hip. So that's really important, not to label your horse or give negative words to your horse. So if you do that, change that, or yourself. Okay. So don't blame the horse. Don't give him negative labels. Don't give him negative. And I'm going to stop doing that with Rocky, because I'm not going to do that anymore. I just feel like that's something that, you know, I got to stop labeling the poor guy, because you never know. I mean, I've ridden enough barrel horses. I know when one's got it right from the get-go, but you just never know if a horse is going to be a late bloomer, right? So be positive and keep focused on being focused on not labeling them and being positive. So that's one thing. The next thing is foundation. If your horse has holes in their foundation, they're going to have holes on the pattern. So fix the foundation. The third thing is rider cues. Sometimes rider cues with speed are bad. You got to work on your rider cues with speed. You're maybe really good in your slow work, but maybe you're not. You know, send me videos, let me see, and we'll fix those things. So we want to focus on that as well. So we don't want to blame the horse if it's a rider cue issue with speed. The fourth thing is you can't keep up. Sometimes a horse can be 1D with one person and 3D with another, because maybe you're not fit enough or your timing isn't there to get with your horse. So we don't want to blame the horse if it's us that's holding that horse back. Ride every day. Your competition is out there riding every day and competing every weekend. So if you want to get better, you got to do more. You can't not ride your horse during the week and expect to do well on the weekend. The fifth thing is you have the horsepower. Maybe you just need to step it up an inch, you know, step it up a little bit more, just a little bit more. Maybe have a little more fire out of the alleyway, or drive a little harder out of the turns. Or maybe you're just not the right match. Like, some riders need a push horse, some riders need a free runner. Every horse and rider are different as far as how they match. The sixth thing is tempers and having patience. Never be negative and never have a temper. You have to really learn to enjoy the process and be patient and be positive. That's really important. Number seven, I mentioned this a little bit, but having a schedule and being disciplined, preparing at home, doing your homework. So like I said, you go to the barrel race, that's your test. And you say, okay, this went great. Find something positive in every run, but I need to work on that. And that's your homework for the week. So you're prepared for your next competition. So keep that in mind. Number eight is, are you doing enough for them to take care of them properly? Are you seeing a sports medicine vet once a year to make sure they feel 100%? You know, do you get regular massage or chiropractic or acupuncture? You know, are you doing enough to make sure they feel good? Not just vet care, but you're the best farrier, no hoof, no horse, the best dentist. Some dentists don't balance the whole mouth. They don't get the molars right. They don't get the incisors right. You know, do that, you know, make sure that's getting done. Number nine, diet. And diet's important. Are you feeding them the best quality hay? Are you giving them the minerals and vitamins they need? Summer's coming. DynaSpark, electrolytes. I make sure my horses get that so they keep drinking. I did a clinic this weekend. Holy moly, Saturday was 90s. It was rough. We had shade trees, but it was still rough because I couldn't be under the shade trees the whole time. The riders could when it wasn't their turn, but holy cow, I drank so much water. And I did some electrolytes, doTERRA's electrolytes afterwards because I felt depleted. And so electrolytes are important in the summer months or when horses are under strenuous exercise or hauling. Keep that in mind. Your diet matters. So pay attention to that. Number 10, are you a never give up attitude? You know, are you focused? Are you disciplined? Are you able to bounce back from things? Do you have a highlight reel you focus on? Focus on the positives instead of the negatives. You know, we all have a run that, you know, takes our confidence away or makes us disappointed. We can't all have great runs every time, but focus on your highlight reels, focus on your good things that are going right. And, or even just the good things are going right in practice. And then eventually they'll happen in competition. So, number 11, do you ride with heart? Meaning, do you have a good connection with your horse? Are you putting your horse first? Are you giving it 100% inside and outside the arena? Do you know your horse? Every single one of us barrel racers should be journaling, and we should have a manual on what our horse likes and dislikes. You know your horse better than anyone. You know everything they like and don't like. And if you don't, you should learn it, write it down. Number 12, this is a big one, your mental game. You know, are you overthinking? Are you having self-doubt? Are you not trusting your horse, or trusting your training or yourself? These are all things that are really important. Listen to my mental game podcast I posted on Friday, and it lists 10 things you should be doing for your mental game to stay positive and focused and not overthink, but in the moment. And trusting your preparation, yourself, and your horse. So those are all really important things. Let's see here. Number 13. Many of us know, like youth riders, they're just fearless, right? They're just fearless. And that's how a lot of times when we're older, especially women, we start to be more cautious. We'll be like, you know, I'm a mom. I've got kids to take care of. If I get hurt, I can't work and pay the bills. You know, so we start having these little, like, hey, common sense, you know, go out there and go for it, but also be smart because I can't afford to get hurt. So you become a little bit more, and I saw it huge in me after my divorce and I was alone and on my own. I'm like, I can't get sick or hurt. I pay the bills. Who's going to take care of the horses and the dogs? So fearless makes a big difference. There's riders who can just block everything out and be fearless for 15 seconds, you know, without that questioning, you know, I got to be safe kind of deal. So, and I want everyone to be safe. I'm not saying go out there and be crazy, but I'm also saying that those little things can affect you from being 1D to 2D. I did that with Briscoe her last year of competition. I love her so much. I've had her since she was 3. I knew she wanted to retire. She'd been competing for 15 years. And she was coming up on 20, and you know, she was my heart, and I didn't want her to get hurt. So every time I'd go down the alleyway, I'm thinking, you know, just be safe, Briscoe, instead of let's run, let's fire. And that difference can make us half a second on the clock for you. So there has to be a time where you're putting your horse first, but there also has to be a time where you're also get out of the, you know, training mode and get into the competition mode too. And that can be a really hard thing, to not worry about your horse because you love them and you don't want them to get hurt, but you have to ride to win, which is fast. And when you're running fast, you can't always be safe. So it's a fine line we walk, you know, between having fire and not having fire. So those are the things I just wanted to share today. I've been talking about 30 minutes now, and it's time to go feed the horses and work on videos and group lessons and yada, yada. Long day today. But I do want you to take, and I critique myself, you know, as myself. I try to keep myself inspired and through you guys and for you guys. And I also try to self-analyze myself as well. And I notice, you know, since I've retired my horses, my three main girls, and been through what I've been through the last 8 years, I've lost a little bit of that. And like I said, I'm starting to feel it come back, and it's a good feeling. And I want to apply that to Rocky too, and not label him anymore negatively and everything. And just enjoy it. Like I said, I love him and I feel like God gave him to me. So I'm just going to have fun with him and see where it takes me. And that's how I'm going to leave it. Instead of, you know, cause I get that question too much. Are you going to enter him? Or are you going to compete again? And, you know, the main reason is finances. I've got three horses on welfare here and, you know, and they deserve me to take care of them. So that's what I do. But anyways, so everybody has different goals and dreams, and I'm just, you know, I'm just going to enjoy where I'm at right now. And that's what I want to recommend to all of you. You know, but remember that every day and every ride is a blessing. And I'm going to close with that and remind you again, there's four things God would want from you. And that's for you not to worry, but to trust him, not to be negative, but stay positive, to not have fear, and to really enjoy life. And not people please, but just do what you know in your heart to be what God would want for your path. And not worry about what other people think or say about it. And just do what you think is right for your relationship with God and your personal life. So anyways, I just want to say that. And being positive and believing in yourself is so important. And just enjoy the process and the journey. And like I said, every day is a blessing. Every ride's a blessing. I'm just really happy to be able to be back on a horse pain-free. So, you know, those are things that are reality checks, you know, when you go from one extreme to another. So count your blessings and for your health and things that you may take for granted. Don't, you know, just be appreciative of those things. So thank you again. And also a little bit for, we have some group members I'd like to just say a little prayer for. Some of them are dealing with injuries themselves or injuries of their horses, or dealing with some medical issues that they need prayers for. So without mentioning any names, because I don't like to do that to our membership, if everybody could just please lift up that all the members in the group or anybody who's listening to this podcast, and just lift them up and whatever they're dealing with, you know, just like your daily prayers for your spouse or your family or your children, your parents, whatever you pray for, if you could just add the members of our barrel racing community, that God would be there for them right now and help them have peace and direction and with whatever they're dealing with. So thank you guys for tuning in this week. As always, God bless and ride with heart.